Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, would the Cincinnati Bengals not actually take Joe Burrow? Would that be a moment where they're like, nah, we're not going to do that? I think there is a perfect opportunity for them to make a move. I guess the next part of that question is, if they stayed at one, would they take anybody else? We'll get into that,
Chase Young,
in just a moment, especially with what the Cincinnati Bengals GM has just recently said. And Kevin, the draft talk will continue to come here at the station as we get into the Super Bowl. At the end of the Super Bowl, we have Brian Broaddus with us this week. I'm sure we can grab him and talk some draft stuff with him. Jeff Kavanaugh's here. I watch stuff all the time too, and Kevin is a college football nerd. So is Choppy too, by the way. So when it comes to the knowledge that you're going to have, that's one of the things I love about this station, Chippy, is that this station provides great information and insight into what's going on with all these teams. And I think we're all well-versed in each one of these sports too. And that's one of the things I love so much and respect about the hosts at this station. We work really hard and pride ourselves on making sure that we're delivering right, good, strong information and strong content on a daily basis. And thanks for coming into work today, Shippy.
Dude, no problem, man.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's the kind of stuff right there is the commitment we need.
We were in yesterday, too, on a holiday.
I know. It was pretty amazing.
Whoa, wow, look at us go.
Pretty wild. The no days off, Shippy.
As for tomorrow, who
I've
knows?
Always said that, yeah.
Before we get into the Joe Burrow discussion, Kevin, Jalen Hurts was asked if he would consider playing wide receiver.
Ugh.
And
why? Because he's not white.
What do you think?
Yes.
Is that the only reason that he was asked that?
If you're not, yes. Look, and usually I hate that race is a part of so many arguments, but let's not pretend like there aren't some valid spots. And if you're not white and you're an athletic quarterback, I feel like that question has probably come up. So, sure. Why? I mean, I would have thought even after this year at Oklahoma, when he showed like he can go beyond the idea of just being a bus driver, I would think that question wouldn't happen anymore. But the hell with what I know, here we are.
I think that people say, hey, what are the best opportunities to provide you an opportunity to succeed? And maybe you can convert positions and be successful. But maybe you can be a wide receiver. Maybe you can be a really good safety. Maybe you can be a really good tight end.
And you might be right about all of that. But don't you think he says, look, I got us to a national championship at Alabama. I got us back in the playoff at Oklahoma. Two different teams, two different systems. Where I can be successful is being a quarterback.
Well, I absolutely say that, because when he was asked that question, he said, look, I've always been a team first guy, but I'm a quarterback. And I think that's a really strong way to come out. I mean, I really appreciate him saying that. I wonder how many other teams will appreciate it too. And we talk about position flex all the time. Would anybody be upset if there was a defensive end that said, nah, I'm a 3-4 guy. I'm not a 4-3 guy.
I think so.
Well, really?
Yes.
And so would that lower his draft stock then? I'm not willing to make that transition?
Yeah, because I think they're like, I'm just moving your system. I'm not changing everything about the way you play. I think if you bounce somebody out of quarterback, I mean, you're changing like literally everything about what they do in football.
Okay. All right, then. Well, and that's it is a fantastic controversy with that specifically. Nobody's asking Trevor Lawrence to change positions. Although Trevor Lawrence can run the ball too, right?
Yes, and you know what? I'm really hoping that the success of Lamar Jackson changes some of that. And it's unfortunate, but let's face facts the way it is. Let's all be adults. The fact that a black athletic quarterback who was also asked to change positions has succeeded in the NFL. We'll hopefully phase out some of these questions. Look, maybe Jalen Hurts fails as a quarterback, but let him fail on his own merits in the NFL.
Now, the other cool story regarding Jalen Hurts, I know you're all like, hold on, why are you talking about Jalen Hurts so much? But I thought this was pretty cool. He is going to be participating in the Senior Bowl, which not everybody is, Kevin, because
not Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow is too good for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, but he is.
You're right.
Jalen Hurts is not.
He, however, is representing both Alabama and Oklahoma during the Senior Bowl.
Whoa.
He is going to wear a special helmet in Saturday's Senior Bowl game.
Like that one Buffalo Bills player used to, the big giant helmet.
The helmet on the helmet?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Nothing like that, Kevin. Okay. It is going to have both the Alabama logo and the OU logo on the sides.
What are we doing here?
What do you mean? What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
This is pretty awesome, is it not? All right. Okay, here. Let me make it even better to you. All right. Yeah, he's going to wear the number one during this thing, but this was specially signed off, this helmet. They're making two of them. A second helmet is going to, with the same design, is going to be auctioned off with proceeds to benefit Special Spectators, an organization that helps bring sick children and their families to sporting events.
Oh.
So that's what we're doing here, Kevin.
Okay.
This is a brilliant move.
Okay, because, I support that.
Because not only do you benefit from, like, maybe some OU fans saying, hey, I'd like to donate, but maybe some Alabama fans are like, hey, I'd like to help take part in this too. So now you just connected that, and that helmet is going to probably go for what, $30 or so?
No. He's going to autograph it, and it's for charity. I feel good about this. I'm going to say $3,000.
Okay. All right.
We'll raise $3,000 for charity.
All right. Somebody asked this question, Kevin, from the 254. What if Taysom Hill were black? Would more young quarterbacks be okay with position flex? We had Cordell Stewart. And did he change the game? We used to talk with Cordell Stewart on a weekly basis, and he just did whatever. He was a quarterback that changed to wide receiver,
sure,
would be a running back, whatever it was. But that brings up an interesting topic of Taysom Hill, and he's willing, but I think he's not a caliber of quarterback to be at a certain place, so he's like, whatever I can do to get on the field. That's just the way I see it, though.
God, I don't want this whole segment to turn into this. I'm sorry, Corey, but I meant to respond to at least two of these on air. From the 469, is it racist to ask Tim Tebow if he would play tight end? Congratulations, you found one example. And from the 936, he's being asked because he's a freak athlete, not because of the color of his skin. Shaking my head, stop it. Just stop it. Jalen Hurts is being asked to switch positions because he's a freakish athlete that's black. Look, there are plenty of times where I don't think race applies, but you find the number of, whether you go down to lower levels of football or you go all the way up to the combine in the NFL, let's not pretend that if you're a freakish athlete who is a white quarterback, you are far less likely to be asked to change positions than if you're a freakish athlete who's a black quarterback. Does that mean every issue in the history of sports is about race? No, of course it's not. But that doesn't mean no issues in sports are about race. You don't think it has anything to do with it? Come on.
I will say that he is not Lamar Jackson.
Just as
Dak is not Lamar Jackson.
Oh, exactly.
Just as Trevor Lawrence is not Lamar Jackson.
And just like Donovan McNabb wasn't, just like Andrew Luck wasn't. But guess what? All of them had certain levels of mobility as quarterbacks. And I just hope that the success of Lamar Jackson will just get rid of this idea. Let Jalen Hurts go into the NFL at the position he wants to play. And if he fails, he fails.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I'm very curious. Maybe we can ask Broadus this. The idea that you have to pigeonhole an athlete. And doesn't he said that before. Sometimes you put athlete on a guy. You label him as athlete. You don't label him as cornerback or whatever. You just say, this guy can play. And whatever position you find for him, he's going to be good at. And Jalen Hurts is an athlete. He is. There are a lot of athletic players out there. I think, though, you've had, was it 4 years now? Is he a senior?
Yeah, I don't think he played at least one of those years at Bama, though.
I think 3 years
as a starter.
You had 3 years at the quarterback position under the guise of some very talented college coaches.
And he did excellently.
He learned something there. That's what I think, is that he's already invested in his future at the position. by going to the camps, by being, you know, being coached by some of these great guys that know how to coach quarterbacks. That's the thing that I think is so important, and that's why he went to OU. He wasn't going to get a chance to play at Alabama, so I need to go somewhere where I can show that I can play, and he did this year. And I think this that goes to other players too. And I think that's what that was. That's more important whenever I'm trying to scout a player is, you know, I want to find out the character traits of their competition. I want to try and find out what position they can be best at, and then try and put them in that role so that I can take advantage, maximize the player. That's what I want to do there. Okay, all right, Kevin. I know you've been on your tangent, and controversy is just going nuts right now.
That's fine. If people disagree with me, that's fair enough. Just know I don't always make things about race, and so that's fine. We don't have to agree on everything. Thank you for listening.
The Duke Tobin is the Bengals director of player personnel. And he said ESPN's report that Cincinnati won't trade the number one pick no matter what is news to me. He said, I don't know that any decision has been made for what we're doing in April. We're early in the process. Like, this is how you start it. We certainly haven't had any meetings to determine at this point. Those will be meetings we'll have as we go through the process. And I think that's true because right now, look at Mike McCarthy. What's Mike McCarthy doing with? I still got to get to know my coaches. Some of them got to figure out where they're going to the bathroom. You know,
plus, like, I heard he suggested that Jalen Hurts should play a different position.
No, he
is
didn't.
That true? Is that not true?
No, okay. I don't know. But the whole like idea is you got to get all your guys on the same page. What are we bad at? What do we need to be better at? How can we start rebuilding this team? Well, is Ryan Finley? Is that their backup quarterback up there? Is he the guy? Probably not. Is Andy Dalton going to be the backup quarterback for a while? Or is he going to be a starter for you? I mean, how are you approaching the Andy Dalton thing?
Because Andy Dalton, like, is obviously the poor man's Eli Manning. And so I wonder if he'll, think about it. I wonder if.
When you said that, I was like, he's not anywhere close to Peyton Manning. And then I realized you said Eli.
Eli Manning. So I wonder if he'll be like, well, I really want to be a starter. And people will be like, okay, buddy, good luck with that. Or he'll be like, yeah, okay. Now that's fair.
Yeah, the whole like would they take Joe Burrow? Don't they have to make that decision of it's time to either make that move, or what about the Dolphins? The Dolphins would love to have a quarterback, or do they have their guy?
No.
They have Rosen, but
they
found out
Rosen.
Because Fitzpatrick, dude, you can't put Fitzpatrick in a room and not love him. All right,
sure.
That's the reason why they hate Rosen. But
and Fitzpatrick's just not long term.
But the Dolphins have 3 first round draft picks.
Oh my God, here we go.
And the Cincinnati Bengals obviously want to hold some leverage. Sure, they are thinking to themselves, "Man, this is a good quarterback." But can they find a way to say we can get a different quarterback and a couple of extra players in the first round and be okay with that? Absolutely. And I think there are a number of first round players. And now I'm listening to Jeff Kavanaugh every day on Twitter. All right. I'm reading his Twitter every day. And there are 2 things that have already upset me. First off, he said he's not comfortable with any of the top 20 being top 20 players, saying that he can't find 20 players that all deserve to be top 20s.
Oh, dear.
So there's probably, 17, 16 guys that might deserve first-round grades?
Perfect. I need it to be 17.
Then he said last night on Twitter, I'm looking for these edge rushers, but I'm not seeing them.
Oh, dear.
So that's usually the thing that goes up at the top of the draft and pushes everything else down in the draft. So I'm thinking that there's not much going on. This is the perfect opportunity for the Dolphins to say, we traded a couple picks, we moved up, and for the Bengals to say, hey, I'm perfectly comfortable spreading the wealth and making my team better.
You know,
but I'm uncomfortable about this draft, man. It's starting to scare me.
The Dolphins, I think, make a lot of sense, just like we talked about. I think perhaps the Panthers for Tua could make a lot of sense in that maybe you could bide your time with Cam for one more year, and maybe with the Dolphins you could bide your time with Fitzpatrick for one more year before making a move. But you know what? I support whatever the Dolphins do because I've been very clear about this. They have the second best coach in the league behind only Bill Belichick. Brian Flores getting that team to 5 wins is one of the greatest accomplishments in modern football. And how he doesn't win Coach of the Year, I think, is a damn shame. Give him Joe Burrow and back up the championship truck.
So weird. Such a weird
You
take.
Don't think it's amazing that that garbage team won five games? They weren't going to – I thought
but
they were going to go down.
Year?
Yeah. Yeah.
For
think.
Five?
Yeah. Think about this. I thought they were going to win zero games all year, and then they traded away arguably their best two players, and then they won five games. That shouldn't even be possible. Brian Flores for Coach of the Year.
Oh.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Do you want to see cheaters get in or people who say inflammatory things on Twitter? We'll talk about that next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we got a big night tonight here in DFW, specifically with the Mavericks going up against the Clippers. Now, I know that game, Kevin, is something I'm very interested in. You said
you're going to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to be there, sitting in the 300s. I know Sean and RJ try to be like, but I'm not going to be sitting, you know. I usually like to sit in a suite because I don't like to run.
Oh, my God.
I stretch my legs out. I'm a big guy. I'm a tall guy, so I want to make sure I stretch my legs out.
You're
but
the worst.
If whoever's sitting in front of me tonight, if you could just kind of scoot down, I'll put my feet in your chair if that's okay. I'll ask nicely, but I'll be there tonight for that game. That starts at 7:30. Looking forward to it. Kevin, the other thing, though, is I want to get into the Hall of Fame discussion that's going to be going on. I know Mike Bassick's out there watching very hard on the James Harden, Russell Westbrook conundrum.
Oh, Russell Westbrook, terrible.
But tonight at 5 o'clock, they will announce the Hall of Famers. And I'm sure, isn't there a website, Kevin, where you can go and like watch the percentages as they come in on the voting?
I think they've kind of scaled back on that. They got mad at some of those votes being released ahead of time.
Oh, really?
And they did the same thing on the Heisman.
Ooh, I like it. All right, well, in addition to that, don't forget that tomorrow night, we've got Rangers open house with Eric Nadell, Nick Solak, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Jared Sandler, all right down here in our downtown studios in Dallas. Come over hang out with us, and hang out with the Rangers, ask questions. 5:30 is when the doors are going to be open, I believe, on that. So get ready at 5:30 here tomorrow night. I want to see a lot of Rangers fans show up in your Rangers gear.
Let's go.
All right, so Kevin, the Hall of Fame announcement will be going down at 5 o'clock. And we've discussed some of these names today, and whether or not we think that they are Hall of Famers.
There's one particular name that I'm intrigued by that we haven't discussed quite as much. It's Curt Schilling. So,
you're about to say something that's going to irritate some fans that you irritated in the last segment.
Yeah, Curt Schilling has said some really divisive, and you can make a very strong argument, racist things on Twitter. The thing about him is, like, you look at the record. He's one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time. Six-time All-Star, won the World Series three times, NLCS MVP, World Series MVP, finished runner-up for the Cy Young three different times.
Blood in his sock.
That, exactly. And so,
maybe
as a
legend.
Oh, come on, conspiracy theory. So, like, he seems like a Hall of Famer, but he has said some really inflammatory things on Twitter, and I don't think that there's any question that's the only reason he hasn't made it in. And he was the closest of the people who didn't make it in last time at 60.9%. Would have been cooler without the decimal. And he went up about 10%. So that would still put him short of the 75% threshold. Clemens was 59% and Bonds was 59%. Here's the thing, though. They both only went up 2%. So, like, they've been inching up little by little, but it hasn't been this big jump or anything like that. And they're all going in to their eighth year. And you only get 10 years, I do believe, to make the Hall of Fame. And so that's why Edgar Martinez made it last year, because it was his last shot. And so I wonder if Schilling, Clemens, Bonds, if any of those guys will make it, just because there's so much controversy surrounding them, even though
after
the controversies are totally different.
After his career?
Yeah. It's
like
weird.
This is after the
like Curt
career.
Schilling, yeah, Curt Schilling wasn't known for saying like those kind of particularly inflammatory things during. But
and well, did he do that on the field? I saw Jeff.
No,
Jeff Fry earlier, Kevin, tweet out that the discussion about a guy that didn't get pop about his Hall of Fame credentials before steroids is kind of laughable because you only know when he got caught. You don't know if he didn't get caught beforehand, but what if Curt Schilling was that kind of guy all the time? You know, even before he retired. So, but I don't know that about him.
Okay.
All I know is what his on-field credentials say. And if you look in the halls of fames, there are lots of bad guys in the halls
yes.
of fames.
Babe Ruth is objectively a bad person. Ty Cobb is objectively one of the worst human beings who's ever been in sports. Let me ask you this, though. Let's say he was a no-good piece of crap while he played. Let's say he was a racist while he played. Do you think that should make a difference about his on-the-field performance?
Mm-hmm.
Like, while he played. Let's say he was racist while he played. I know it's tough. Because, all right, so before you have to answer that question, and I'm going to make you answer that question.
I'd like to think that these guys are great pillars of the community and just, you know, class acts like Roger Staubach.
Sure.
And, you know, I like to think that these guys are all great.
Sure.
But again, and I'm very adamant about this, I think the history of the player in the league tells what the league is. Who were the guys that played? Why were they motivated by what? What are their histories? What did they do that was great? And if you take out the things because of this or that, you're taking away something that really does belong. And whenever later on down the road somebody strolls through that museum, they don't get the real story. They get a story that you wanted to put up about it. And that's what I don't like about it.
So it's really tough because, like I said, there are terrible people in the Hall of Fame, like terrible human beings. But should that make a difference, or should it just be about what you do on the field? Because like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds are obviously some of the all-time great players. I think they already would have been some of the all-time great players, but they had a desire to be the best all-time player, and so there are implications involving them cheating. And so do they still get in because they would have got in? Do they still get in, like Corey said, because they're undoubtedly, like, I don't think you can tell the story of baseball without those two players and without the steroid scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, from that perspective, they also should probably go in the Hall of Fame. And
yeah.
Then Curt Schilling's thing is totally different.
Yeah. No, and I totally get that. I totally get where you're coming from. You also asked another question that I think that we might be interested in, or maybe we can hit this a little bit more. I think I brought up the World Series. Are they going to be kept from being in the World Series, the Astros players? And does that make them pieces of garbage
from the World Series,
or from the
Hall
of
Fame?
Like, would those guys ever have a shot at getting into the Hall of Fame, or is somebody later down the road going to say, you know what, this is the way that we get to punish them? Because that's what's happening to Barry Bonds. This is our chance to punish him. You know, if he didn't get suspended for so many years, if he didn't get what he deserved, then not getting in the Hall of Fame is the punishment enough. And would people trade that? I mean, I think Barry Bonds would totally trade that for the World Series, because he never got his World Series championship to kind of go along with the credentials. But would the Astros players trade that World Series for the Hall of Fame candidacy? Or getting into the Hall of Fame? I don't know that I could.
Because you'd rather be in the Hall of Fame than win the World Series?
I think I would.
Wow.
Now, but the problem is, like, look at Dan Marino. Dan Marino didn't get it, and he constantly, like, feels kicked in the junk by other guys who have Super Bowl rings, because they're like, yeah, I'm in the Hall of Fame too, but I also have a ring or two or three. You don't. And so he feels like he's inadequate to that. Now you could see sometimes in discussions whenever he was doing the pregame shows, people would say stuff and he would kind of back off of stuff that he said because, well, these guys are going to throw that ring at me. And so I think being in the Hall of Fame, though, being able to sign your name, Corey Majors, Hall of Famer, Kevin Hagelin, Hall of Famer.
That'd be cool.
It's actually Kevin on the radio.
Oh, yeah, Kevin on the radio.
God.
Like, that right there is kind of meaningful, right? Like, it feels being introduced as, you know, when we have Jerry Jones on, Hall of Famer Jerry Jones, it makes Jerry feel good to hear that, you know, they just called me a Hall of Famer. That is something that I take for granted sometimes. I'm a Hall of freaking Famer. So, but what's more prestigious, Hall of Famer or Super Bowl champion? Or World Series champion?
I think Hall of Famer, because that group is smaller than, I mean, like every single year, and I know there's some carryover or whatever, but like every single year, how many people get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? 8. How many people win a Super Bowl? 53. You know, every single year for baseball, how many people get into the Hall of Fame? Some years it's 0. Some years it's max is out at 5. How many people get a World Series ring? 25. You know, like it's more elite company.
You know, two in the last 6 years, only like 2 players have gotten in the Hall of Fame for baseball. It's ridiculous.
So, can I backtrack for just 1 second? I just want to. This topic is difficult, and I don't want to try to offend anybody if you don't agree. But I also don't want this idea that, like, especially if you know who I am personally, that I just throw out the term that somebody might be doing a racist thing or doing an inappropriate thing just for no reason. All right, so people are like, well, I demand you give one example of something awful that Curt Schilling said. Okay, fine. He tweeted out a picture of somebody wearing a shirt that said, rope, period, tree, period, journalist, period, some assembly required. And his addition to that was so much awesome here. All right, so we should lynch and murder journalists like what they did to slaves. So there's that. And then the other one that instantaneously jumps to mind is he tweeted out a picture that said, it's said that only 5 to 10% of Muslims are extremist. In 1940, only 7% of Germans were Nazis. How did that go? Awesome. So, like, if you don't want to hear politics on the show, fair enough. We don't talk politics about the show. But I'm telling you, the specific reason that Curt Schilling has not got it voted into the Hall of Fame, and you've heard numerous voters say this, is because of what he has said in his post-game career. If you don't think that should matter, that's fine. I think that's a perfectly reasonable argument. But I don't like the idea that people are like, well, just because he has conservative viewpoints doesn't make him a racist. Yes, I 100% agree with that. But some of the things that Curt Schilling has said go far beyond the pale of things that normal people say on a consistent basis. And I'm telling you, that is why he hasn't gotten to the Hall of Fame yet. Why one of the greatest, if not the greatest, postseason pitcher of the last generation is not in the Hall of Fame is for one reason alone.
That's why the voters are holding him
out. That's why. And numerous voters have said, I don't feel comfortable putting somebody like him in the Hall of Fame. And then they reference the things that he said. Usually sports and politics don't intersect on this show. But this is specifically a thing. Tonight, if Curt Schilling does not make the Hall of Fame, know that there is one reason and one reason alone. It's because of these things. And if you don't agree, well, guess what? The next topic will be about something totally different. All right? We can disagree and still listen, but I'm telling you, if you don't think he's racist, fine. If you don't think that should have any bearing, fine. I am telling you, the reason Curt Schilling is not in the Hall of Fame yet is because of this. That's a fact.
I just want to point out the way that you say fine is very definitive, and it offends me. Do you feel the same way when he says fine? It's kind of like you're in an argument with somebody, and they keep throwing fine at you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like if you have a girl, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, how are you doing? Or, hey, can I go to this? Like, yeah, it's fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wow. Fine.
Well,
like, man, you're so right about that.
Again, welcome to knowing me as a person, Corey, and this is surely not the first time we've had a conversation where I've had something that has infuriated you. I know that there are Kevinisms that get discussed where you're like, you know what I hate when he does?
Oh, my
this.
God. He takes shots at chili and Dr. Pepper
and Luca.
Frito pie.
Yeah, I said Luca was a top 3 player.
Regular pie. He's always trying to get us to eat agreement pie, though.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, look, something everyone can agree on. We'll give you an opportunity to win $1,000. Plus, crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation. We'll do all that next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.